to you by our friends of the British Council. Hey everybody, welcome back to Rugby Wrap-Up here at the Fantasy Sports Network Studio 34 on West 35th Street in Manhattan, and I have the pleasure of being with some very big names in the rugby world, at least in their apartments. Mr. Drew DiCavallo, is that the correct pronunciation?
Oh, DiCavallo, but that's okay.
DiCavallo, accent de grave. Mr. Jeff Andrews and Mr. Desmond O'Brien. Ladies and gentlemen, this well-rounded, full-bodied, carefully crafted, meticulously aged, yet sometimes cantankerous and cranky collection joins us for our Rugby Vintage Wines, Wines with an H segment. Gentlemen, you're all here today because you know rugby and you often complain. So let's get right to it. Quick bio on these individuals. You have Mr. Drew
DiCavallo.
DiCavallo. He's Australian, if you can't tell by the attitude, but he's also a voiceover artist, a.k.a. the voice of Australia in America, and a longtime resident expat of Oz, and an amateur rugby player, and you'll get no argument with that.
Very amateur.
Yes, but he also has a very smooth voice, which he will like to use, but we'll give him the school bell to cut him down. Mr. Jeff Andrews, who is the mayor of all things Kiwi and probably Aussie in the United States. He's also a Royal New Zealand Navy man.
Right.
Farmer of the Year in New Zealand.
Nice.
And Young Farmer of the Year.
What's that?
Young Farmer of the Year, 1978.
He's always modest. He doesn't want to make sure that, he wants to make sure you don't think he was the Farmer of the Year, but the Young Farmer of the Year. And, you know, if he had stayed at it, he would have been the Farmer of the Year for sure. But also former coach of the New York Rugby Club, a club that we are affiliated with, and Lafayette Rugby. Is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, that's right, Lafayette.
So far, so good. And also the founder of the Vintage Wines.
Yep, the New York Vintage Wines International Touring Old Boys Rugby Team. Des is a member. You're a member. It's a great side.
Yes, and Wines, W-H-I-N-E-S, because as we get older, we don't just age, but we complain more. And finally, but not least, Tipperary Desmond O'Brien, the young man from Ireland who's come over to the United States, and now he owns about 75,000 bars, including the Pig and Whistle, the best rugby pub in New York City. And none of this complimentary introduction stuff has anything to do with that. You sponsor Rugby Wrap-Up. It's got nothing to do with it.
Of course not.
Of course not. Also, a heck of a New York Rugby Club player that ran over me before he retired. Anyway, gentlemen, I brought you all together because you all know a lot about rugby, and you're all interesting men in the pub, and you have your opinions. And I wanted to get your opinion on the Barbarians, the Babas. Who basically are going to, you know, they're having some great runs right now. You know, they had the exciting match against New Zealand just recently, your All Blacks. But the future of the Barbarians in the professional era is kind of up in the air. You got players that are playing way too many games. You've got a bunch of injuries going on in the Aviva Premiership, the Guinness Pro 14, the Top 14. You've got the British and Irish Lions every 4 years. These guys are playing international tests. They're playing professional rugby. When the Barbarians and even the Lions were formed, there wasn't professional rugby per se. So now you've got a question of how long are these guys going to continue going, and what is the future of the Barbarians in the professional era? Jeff, why don't you start
with this? Well, the Barbarians out of the United Kingdom are... I'm not sure what's going to happen there, Matt, but I was, like most rugby enthusiasts, very disappointed in the game they had against the All Blacks with the crowd attendance. The crowd was, it should have been 80,000 people there, and there was only 60,000. And I'm disappointed that they wouldn't release the players to let them, the local players, play against the All Blacks. However, I the future of the Barbarians, what we must remember is that there are Barbarian clubs in South Africa, in New Zealand, and maybe it's time we had a Barbarians club here in the United States, which could promote games against touring side. So I'm not quite sure where it's all going to start. It's been, the Barbarians, since they were founded, had played over 100 games. So I'm not quite sure.
So do you think that perhaps the World Rugby could take over the Barbarians and make them a Tier 2 kind of competition team?
You know, I just watch it. I just want to see a great game of rugby. And when I see the Barbarians play the New Zealanders, my only thought, without knowing much about, you know, the background, is why are the New Zealanders in the Barbars? I want to see a team, an international team, play against the Barbars, which is made up of all these fantastic players. Right. I mean, I remember the Barbarians in the old days. There was like one team against, and there were no players in the Barbarians from that team. I think that just makes sense from my point of view.
Well, Des, you got the players are from all over the place historically, though. You've got guys like Zinzan Brook,
right,
who played for the Barbarians. You got Australians like Campisi, but you got Tony O'Reilly, that was the leading try scorer and has the most matches, and he's an Irishman. But the motto, Des, is the Barbarians' motto, as per Reverend W.J. Carey, is that rugby football is a game for all gentlemen in all classes, but for no bad sportsmen in any class. And they haven't said from the get-go that this was just a UK-based team.
Well, my take on it is, when I remember as a young man watching the Barbarians play, it was almost like an all-star game. Obviously, the schedules back then were less saturated than they are now, and with the advent of professionalism, obviously coaches are going to protect their players. But my feeling is that there's actually a place to resurrect the Barbarians, say, at the tail end of people's careers. And you bring in all these legends that you can put out in the field. I believe something similar goes on in Bermuda. I think it's on actually this week. The legends of rugby has gone on down there. So rather than lose the Barbarian team, and the games that they perform in, I think maybe we should be able to, or the heads, the powers that be, should maybe look at bringing it back at the tail end of legends' careers and keep that vibe alive.
That's an interesting. Yeah. Let's come back after these words with more, and we can continue on that. We'll be right back.
If you're in New York City and want to watch some great rugby, have some great food, and some great times, go to the world's best rugby pub, the Pig and Whistle on West 36th Street.
We sip, we peel, and we slide. Nah, like this.
We sip, we peel, we win.
I think I'm getting this.
Grab a large or extra large freshly ground, freshly brewed hot coffee for your chance to win great prizes, like free coffee for a year. Get your celebration ready. Dunkin' Donuts. This is coffee. This is winning.
I'm Sean Fitzpatrick, and you're watching Rugby Wrap-Up.
Hey, everybody, we're back at Rugby Wrap-Up at the Fantasy Sports Network Studio 34 with our esteemed rugby wines, our rugby vintage wines. And as we left off with you talking about when you were a kid with the Barbos, or the Babas, I beg your pardon, because we got to get the sheep or the lamb in
there, right? That's it.
Yeah, don't want to offend any lamb out there or sheep out there. But, Des, did you have a favorite Baba when you were growing up, and did you like the Barbarians more than the Lions, or how did that work out for you as a kid?
Well, to be truthful, back when I was a kid and watching rugby, it was generally just watching our own team perform in the Three Nations or the whatever it was, Triple Crown back then, I guess. But I do recollect seeing one or two Barbarian games that featured such legends as Garrett Edwards and Andy Irvine, several, you know, Willie Duggan, Moss Keane, and I just thought it was kind of a fun game. It was more open, less hostile, I suppose. Both teams were playing for the fun of the sport,
yeah,
and to put on a spectacle for the fans. So that being said, I think that again, because the schedules were so limited back then.
You mean the TV schedules? Or?
No, just the number of games that that were played on the international scene and the whole thing. You know, and then you had a few, maybe a touring game here and there or whatever, but it wasn't saturated the way it is now. And now you have this fall schedule, you have the summer tour, et cetera, et cetera. So, again, people love to see these players. And, you know, when guys like Paul O'Connell retire or Brian O'Driscoll retire, there's still some fuel in the tank. And I think these guys and their ilk from other nations could be put on a team just for the entertainment value that they bring and they give, and just the fun that
did
the Barbers is.
Did you notice he avoided answering the question about his favorite player growing up? But
well, I did say Gareth Edwards. He's an Irishman.
Yeah.
You know, I got to say Willie Duggan.
Okay, all right, good, good.
Because he drank a pint of beer at halftime and smoked a pack of cigarettes. That was
those days are
because they were all amateurs.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, that speaks to what we were talking about before. Maybe it is an older kind of squad, or a squad of guys that isn't necessarily at the top of their game or vying for their nation's spot. And they come and they play maybe a Team USA and a Team Canada.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would work. I just think that the Barbarians culture, it's like golden oldies rugby culture. It's the camaraderie. It's the making sure that everybody contributes. There's a lot of after-match functions. There's a lot of pre-match functions. It's just a great way for people to express their love for one another playing the game. And I would like to see more of it. The thing, that question you asked, Dez, about their favorite player, my favorite memory of the Barbarians is Cliff Morgan, the commentator, when he called that try that Gareth Edwards got. I think it was
1973.
Brilliant by Pinnell. This is Gareth Edwards. A dramatic start. Who
has gone? Hello, Edwards. It makes the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. It was a magnificent try. It was a magnificent atmosphere, a magnificent call. How can you just can't forget stuff like that.
And Drew, it gives an opportunity for the Wallabies to play with All Blacks.
Well, that's
in a sense, and maybe learn how to play a little bit better brand new rugby.
Listen, any help we can get at this stage. I just want to also add, I was involved in the US 2 years ago, 2015, with the All Star Cricket, the Cricket All Stars. Sachin Tendulkar, who was the greatest player in the world from India, Shane Warne, who was one of Australia's greatest ever. They put it together. They'd just retired. They had 30 of the greatest players in the world. It was fantastic. They filled stadiums. They went to the Met Stadium, then they went to Houston, and then Dodger Stadium. And
I understand that, but I mean, I don't mean to disparage cricket in terms of their injury potential, but you're talking about guys that at the end of their career also haven't been beaten to a pulp for a long time.
I agree with Des. It's got to be very close to when they've retired. You can't sort of say, oh, you were a great player 10 years ago, would you like to put the Guernsey on? No.
Yeah. All right, so Jeff, what's the future for the Barbas?
I think the future depends on the home nations in UK releasing their players to play against touring teams. They have to get back to filling Twickenham. That's the key. That's the home of the Barbarians. And getting 80,000 people to watch a wonderful game of rugby, you just can't forget stuff like that. They have to let these players go. They probably won't, but it's just something that I would like to see.
But you know, the injury thing, it's ironic because it came into play for an opportunity for Luke Whitelock, who was playing for the Barbarians against the All Blacks. Jerome Kano gets hurt in that match for the All Blacks. He's now not available. And what do? They call up Whitelock.
Yes.
He just played against them.
Yes, that is an issue. But that's something you just have to deal with. These touring teams, if they're going to make sure they play against the Barbarians, they have to put on their best team, because that's what people are want to see. They want to see the All Blacks, the best All Black team. And somehow or other, we have to get the local lads involved.
All right, so would you rather see the Barbas or the Lions?
Old-style Barbas, current Lions.
Yes, I'd like to. Same with me, Drew. Old style barbarians and current Lions.
I think there's room for both, but I think while New Zealand were up visiting, it would have been nice to see a match against the Lions.
That would have been magnificent.
All right, so what I'm going to say, because I'm going to ride both sides of the fences as we break, and before I thank these gentlemen, I'm going to say I think the Babas should play the Lions. It should be a required match every 4 years.
Don't know about that.
Where would they play? Dubai?
Jeff Andrews is very angry, and that's not an easy task.
I don't think that would work.
But, I'll expect your letters from New Zealand, and I want to thank, in the meantime, Mr. Drew.
DiCavallo.
Mr. Jeff.
Andrews.
And Mr. Dez.
O'Brien.
And I'm Matt McCarthy for Rugby Wrap-Up here at the Studio 34 Fantasy Sports Network here in New York City on West 35th Street, signing off.